Hey, everybody, and welcome to another installment of Revelation Wellness Nashville. Today is a special day. We're going to have a guest on the show today. I've been waiting for this moment for a really long time. Not really sure when the time was going to come, but today is the day. Today we are going to be talking about teaching your children how to hear the voice of God. So with me, very appropriately, might I add, is my son, Gabriel Jox, who is age 6. Gabe, can you say hi?
Hi, everybody. My name's Gabe, and I'm a 6-year-old boy.
And Gabe is so excited to be able to come with his mommy and share today just about some things that we've done in our home to teach him how to hear the voice of God, how that's changed his perspective on his relationship with God, and anything else that God may want us to speak about today. Yep. So I hope you guys are settled in. Bring your children near you if you'd like to. If not, just go ahead and listen to the podcast. And if you're not a parent yet and you're just wanting to gain some wisdom, welcome as well. Yes, so Lord, we just come to you today. We just thank you, Father, for who you are. Very good and loving and patient God. Father, I thank you that it is your will and your heart that our children move and flow with you, God, just as much as we do. Lord, that they hear and know your voice, Lord, and they can walk in wisdom even at their young ages, Lord. That they can be well equipped to filter their thoughts and their heart, God, and just fall in alignment with you. Father, we pray for fresh revelation today for ourselves and for our children. Lord, we know that it's your heart to reveal the mysteries of your ways, to give us the game plan for our families, Lord. We just come expecting to learn new things, and we love you, Lord. In your name, amen. So it probably started about a year and a half ago. I was becoming kind of overwhelmed. I'm a homeschool mom. My son was just kind of coming of age to actually start homeschooling really seriously, and I knew that I had to kind of get my stuff together. I started praying, and there were just so many things that I could spend my time with my children on, right? Like, there's so many programs and things you can enroll them in. Then you have homeschooling. Then you have just, like, playtime, like, to actually just get to play with your children. There's so many different things that demand your attention and time that I was like, God, where do I put my time? Where do I put my efforts? What do you want me to teach my children? And the first thing that God spoke to my heart was, teach them how to hear my voice. The minute I heard this, I knew that was God speaking. So I put all of my effort into teaching my children how to hear God's voice. My daughter is only 3 years old, so her journey right now looks a little bit different than Gabriel's, but he can actually put words to the process that he has gone through with me. We don't follow a book. We don't follow a plan. We really just follow God's voice in this. So I wanted him to kind of share with you what his experience with hearing God's voices, and then I'm going to be following up on the tail end and just kind of sharing with you the wisdom and insight that God gave me on our journey to teaching him how to hear God's voice. So Gabe, do you remember the very first time that God spoke to you?
It was the time when I got that picture of me in my bed and this big light appeared of God. And these angels came and they started blowing a trumpet, and then the light went away. So, yeah, that's pretty much my career.
So, Gabriel, can you tell them, did God, like, speak to you really loud, like, in his voice? Or how was he speaking to you that time?
It was kind of in a picture.
In a picture, right. And has God ever spoke to you any other ways?
Yeah. He used his voice, like, and stuff.
So, when God uses his voice, does he talk out loud to you?
No, it's kind of loud, quiet.
It's kind of loud, quiet?
Yeah.
But is it in your head, in your heart, or is it out?
It's actually... it's in my head because I can actually hear it in my head, and it sounds really God-like.
It sounds God-like? How do you know what God sounds like? Like, how do you know that's not your own voice?
Because it really sounds like what he sounds like in the Bible.
Sounds like what he sounds like in the Bible? Yeah. So does he, like, give me an example of something that you've heard God say to you in your head or heart.
Like, he loves me and he really loves me a lot and yeah.
So I remember that there was one time when you were struggling and when you would get angry at yourself, you would call yourself stupid and you would say that you were a bad boy. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that. I just didn't. I couldn't. Because it was just really hard.
It was, yeah, it's hard when you make mistakes and things like that. But what did you, was that God's voice speaking to you?
No.
No, how did you know it wasn't God's voice?
Because it didn't sound like a God kind of voice. It sounded kind of a mean voice.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do later? Did you just believe that you were a bad boy?
No, I believed that I was a good boy.
Yeah. And so what? How did you feel after that? After you heard that bad voice, and then you, did you go and ask God, you know, what he thought? Or did you just kind of listen to that bad voice?
Oh, well, I didn't really remember. Well, I didn't really talk to God, and I just heard that voice, and then I just walked away from it.
Yeah, so you had a choice because you knew that wasn't the voice of God, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Gabe. How did you learn how to hear the voice of God?
From you, Mom.
And what were some things that Mommy taught you that kind of stick out to you that really helped you understand how God speaks to us and what it sounds like?
Well, you taught me about the Bible and, well, it's kind of like a map, you see. You're supposed to do something a map says. You're supposed to go where the map says to go. And so, yeah, because you're not just supposed to hear the Bible. You're supposed to do what it says. Like a map, like I said. You're supposed to do what it is. Do what it says to do. And yeah, that's what they're made for. And that's, the Bible is to teach people how to really know what stuff God did. And the Bible was wrote from people who saw things that were from God. And yeah. And my mom's a really good mom, and she teaches us well, so we can really hear the Bible well. And it's just really great how she can teach, and she's the best mom I ever had. And yeah.
Thank you, sweetie. I promise you guys, I did not pay him to say that. It's really amazing what your kids can actually learn when you sow into them, and really when you just ask the Lord what to do, what to teach them. The truth is, your children are different than my children. God may have a different plan for them as far as the things that he really wants you to focus in on, but I have found it to be very powerful to teach my children to hear God's voice, to empower them in their own relationship with God. A lot of us have grown up learning the Bible stories, knowing the Word of God, even walking out the Word of God, and there's great, great power in that. But then there's this other part that a lot of times we miss, and that's the intimate relationship with Christ and really learning how to hear back from God. We've been talking to God for a really, really long time, but we haven't really been able to hear him as clearly as I know and truly believe he desires to speak with us, to have that constant back and forth between you and the Lord. That is one of the very reasons that Jesus died on the cross, so that we could have an intimate relationship with God. So when approaching relationship and hearing from God, teaching your children how to hear from God themselves, number one is you have to be hearing from God. Kids are amazing and they can sniff out a phony from the truth any day. So if you don't feel like you can hear from God clearly, back and forth, that you can hear consistently from Him every single day, then that, my friend, is where I suggest that you start. Spend time really digging in, pursuing the heart of God for yourself. Don't get distracted with just trying to lead your kids. Because honestly, when you are focused on Christ and you are walking towards Him, people follow naturally. Your children follow naturally. I've had different conversations with my children, reminding them that they are not my idol, they are not my God. A lot of times, if they just can consistently come first thing in the morning demanding things, and they need fed, and they have some honest needs, right? But a lot of times, if I have not gotten up before them, I will remind them that I need to go and be with Jesus for a little bit. I'm going to go and talk to Him. I'm going to go and kind of get the game plan from God and just worship Him for a little bit. Then I will come in and I will serve them. But He's my number one, so that's who I'm going to serve first. And that really seems to resonate with them. They have a lot of respect for that time. Even being 6 and 3, they know that when I am in my space worshiping the Lord, that they need to respect that. If they start barging in, I remind them that it's my time with Jesus and that He is my God. So sometimes it's just being that example and hearing from God, setting aside time, making sure you're getting that. If you're not getting time for you and the Lord, and you kind of digging into intimacy with the Father, pursuing His heart, pursuing His voice even, then I would suggest that's where you start. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of intimacy. Like, He desires that, and we need that. And our children need to see that modeled in us. So that's one where I would start. If you don't already have that relationship with God, really start seeking Him for that, and you will find it. The Lord says, if you seek Him, you will find Him. So that's where I would start. Second of all, once you're hearing God's voice for yourself, start asking God what He wants you to invest your time and energy in with your children. It's really easy to just assume that you know what you need to teach your kids and how to do it and when to do it. And you kind of do all the logistics of things without really asking God or pursuing Him. It's just kind of all these responsibilities that the world tells us that we have. Our number one responsibility is to Christ and to really live out what He's asked us to live out. And sometimes that does look like the logistics, but a lot of times if we just humble ourselves and pray and ask God what to do first, He will show us the best use of our energy. So like I shared with you in my story, the best use of my energy the Lord had spoke to me was to teach my children how to hear His voice. So that's what we did, right? But I didn't really know how to do that because I had an intimate relationship with God at that point. I didn't really know how to teach it to my children. So I had to seek Him for that too. Okay, God, what does this look like? I remember the first thing He told me was just pray with them, like welcome them into your sacred time with me. And God will totally give you step by step how to teach your children that thing. You may think you know, you may think you don't know, but either way, I really suggest that don't let the vision be your only revelation. Allow God to give you revelation step by step for how to lead and guide your children. Because no matter what books you read, honestly, friends, we are to seek God and God alone. I love the verse in James 1:5-6. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. The thing that I think is so beautiful and resonates with what we're talking about today is, like, if you lack wisdom, because let's be real, I don't know one parent that has not struggled in some season of their parenting, if not all of them, to really know how to nurture and love and guide their children the way they need to be without always kind of feeling like, am I doing this right? So God is saying right here and reminding us that, hey, if you lack wisdom, just go ahead and come and ask God. Don't go looking around. Don't go asking all of your friends. I don't think it's wrong to do those things. But if you're not seeking God, sometimes those can just become distraction. He does not say if you lack wisdom to seek your best friend's advice, to seek your neighbor's advice, to seek your mother's advice. It says, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. So without shaming you, without being dishonoring. God is just saying, like, he will give it to you generously, all the wisdom you're looking for, without disapproval. And it will be given to you, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. When you go to God to ask him for wisdom on how to raise your children or how to teach your children how to hear God's voice, whatever he's asking you to do, do it in faith without doubting. Without a doubt, God's going to tell you. A lot of times the very first response that I get after asking a question, the very first thought is God's thought, God's voice towards me. And then it's the enemy that has to bring doubt later, right? So I really believe that's why in this verse it is saying pray in faith without doubting, because the doubt comes afterwards. Maybe that's not right. Maybe I should do something else. Maybe I need to do it this way. Let God speak and then let it stand. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So when you doubt and you're uncertain about what you're doing, you're uncertain about if God is going to answer you, it's like a wave in the sea that is driven and tossed in the wind. You're always going to be wondering if you're doing it right. You're always going to be wondering what it's going to turn out like. But if you walk with the Lord and you seek his face for wisdom in how to raise your children, you're not going to have that doubt at the end of the day. You're going to know that confidently you walked with Christ through it. And then you let the chips fall where they may. Then your children are responsible to make the choices that they're going to make. But you'll know that you've equipped them with the appropriate choices. Once they can hear God's voice, they can make decisions. I don't know how many people that I have counseled with or talked with that are struggling with a lot of lies that were planted in their lives back when they were children. I really believe that's because we didn't have a lot of authority figures teaching children how to hear God's voice. So when the enemy wanted to plant a lie into their subconscious or into their mind, into their heart, at that point, they didn't have a choice. If someone said they were weird, and then somebody else backed that up, situations backed that up, that lie became their truth. They didn't know how to hear God's voice. I know that I didn't know how to hear God's specific voice towards me. Even though I read the Word of God, I did not know how to interact with the Holy Spirit. So every thought that I thought, I didn't realize I had a choice and that God had something else to say specifically to me. So give your children a choice by hearing God's voice, knowing how to filter their thoughts appropriately. The more you're into the Word, we will read a passage of Scripture and we'll pick out God's character. Okay, so we read about creation, but what does this say about God? What kind of father is he? He loves beautiful things. He loves changing things. He cares for us. He changes the seasons for us. There's so many different things that you can see about the character and heart of God in every passage of Scripture. And every single one of them backs up the very, very consistent truth that God loves his children. The next thing I'd want to share with you is that your kids really are ready. A lot of times we'll read children's Bible stories to our kids over and over and over. Gabe was at the point where I could flip open his children's Bible that was very thick, might I add, and he would already know the story. Then he would go to church and he would already know the story. Like, he was at the point of being able to just recite the Bible stories, which was amazing. But I had to be ready to take him a little bit deeper. And a lot of times we just kind of brush our children off and just say they're not ready or they'll understand when they're older. But a lot of times when they're older, lies are already settling into their subconscious and to their identity that it's almost too late. You have to do a whole bunch of groundwork once again and take them back and start teaching them truth again through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. So it's great that they know those stories. They have to know those stories because it's there that we see the character of God. So they're not going to be able to really filter their thoughts as well if they don't know the character of God. So spend time teaching your children the Bible stories, but then after you teach them the Bible stories, dig deeper into the story. What does this tell us about our Father God? What is he like? What are the things that he loves? What does this story tell us about him? I'm not big on spending a whole lot of time on the enemy, but in order to be successful in a battle, you do have to know your enemy and you do have to know the tactics of your enemy. So I do spend a little bit of time, or have in the past spent a little bit of time, with my children talking about the devil and the different character traits that he has, about being a liar and a deceiver, kill, steal, and destroy. So that when Gabe has a thought, like I talked about before, he had some very dark thoughts before about being stupid, or especially when he would get in trouble, I would hear him up in his room just saying really awful things to himself. That's when I really took it serious about really informing him about what the enemy's like, what his thoughts are like, what he tries to do to children and what he tries to do to people in general. You have to give your children a choice. If not, they will just, like I said, be susceptible to anything that kind of comes into their mind. So give them a choice. Then they get to choose. And at the end of the day, you'll know that they have a choice. They know what God sounds like. They know what the enemy sounds like. And then they get to choose. While I was training Gabe on how to do this and kind of guiding him through this, we would walk through that when we'd have a situation come up. And then if I heard Gabe saying those things, I would talk to him about it and just say, okay, so who do you think is saying that to you? So then he would say, okay, so the devil is saying that to me. He's the one who's speaking to me and calling me stupid. Then I would give him the choice. I'd say, okay, so let's ask God right now what he thinks about you. And I would really, really try to help him calm down enough to hear, to really ask God. We would ask God. We would get really, really quiet. And then I would ask him what that first thought was that came up for him. He would say, I believe, something like, I'm not stupid, I'm really smart and I'm creative. And then I'd say, okay, so if that's what God's saying about you and the devil's a liar, then who do you want to believe right now? And what is probably actually really true about you? In that position, it gave Gabe a choice to become confident, because he was hearing, I was walking him through it, right? Like walking him through the process. And then at the end of it, I said, which voice do you want to believe? The enemy, or do you want to believe God's voice? It's totally up to you. Yeah. Sometimes I would even walk through the result of believing the negative of like whatever the enemy was trying to do. I would say, okay, so how's that going to make you feel later? What are some of the results, or what happens when we think that we're stupid? How do we feel? Does that make you feel good? So you can break it down even further for them. Really walk through the process for, you know, months. Walk them through it. Walk through those hard times after they get in trouble. Or sometimes Gabe will be picking on his sister and I'll have to ask him to pray through that, because he'll just be consistently doing it. I'll have him go ask God what's going on in his heart. And then he'll come back and say something like, you know, I just need attention. So then we can start moving forward from that point. So I hope this is helpful for you guys. I am more than welcome to share even more stuff with you about teaching your children how to hear from God. If this resonates with you, if you have questions, please feel free to contact me on revwellnashville@yahoo.com. I'll make sure to leave it down in the description. And thank you again for just tuning in. Thank you to Gabe for hanging out with me. And Gabe, is there anything else that you think the people should know out there?
Yeah.
Okay.
That the devil should never try to get to their mind, and only God can help them in any situation. And yeah, I love you, Mommy. I love you. I love you. Bye, everybody. Contact us on whatever web Mom has.
All right. Well, thank you guys again for tuning in. And until next Monday, have a wonderful and blessed week. And may God just continue to pour out his revelation on you of who he is and how much he loves you.